same high idea, right?
Exactly.
Dude, you know, with the guy at HMV, that all of his high ideas,
yeah,
he was convinced that people had stolen them. Oh, so, okay. But like, you know, like, Anchorman was like a stolen idea.
Yeah.
Like, dude. I'm sure you didn't, like, write that.
But they stole it and ran with it, too. Like, they did, like, what was he doing with it, really?
Yeah. Sitting in Fort Langley, getting high with it, basically.
Getting high!
You're the worst character.
My Red Jack woke up in Shack on a Monday. My Red Jack had a little bit of stacks on mail, no berry wine.
On the medicine show.
My Red Jack walked down the track, all the way to old Harley's shack. Stuck his back with old Harley's back, and they say that's the way old Harley Davidson died. 1, 2, 3, 4. Old Jack Hart was getting off in the doorway. Old Jack Hart was getting off with little Sara Lee. Old Jack Hart was getting off when his mama was stuttering, starting to cough. His brain went hard and he went soft. They say that's the way. Old Jack Hart, OG.
You mean OD?
No, OG.
Hello and welcome to the I Never Want to Be Young Again podcast. If you are listening to this, you're probably listening to it on the website at ineverwanttobeyoungagain@gmail.com. Be friends with us on Facebook, I Never Want to Be Young Again podcast. Download the Stitcher app and then download and subscribe to our show, I Never Want to Be Young Again podcast. Hey, Jeff.
Hey.
How you doing?
So did he OD or is he an OG? This is the first time I've heard
that's
this.
That's when you OD and you say OG. That's the joke. I don't know. It made sense to them in 1972.
Gangsters.
Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show.
Yeah.
Are you hearing?
I'm not. Is this thing on?
This is quiet. You hearing okay there? All right. Good week. Good week. Yeah. I'm feeling good.
Oh, good. Good for
I'm
you.
Still feeling good. Still rocking the dry January.
Oh, good. Yeah.
I was going to make it a segment on the show, but
That's like better than Lent. That's like some Ramadan shit right there.
Yeah.
You know, that's a real commitment you've made.
It's only commitment because I drank and smoked too much, but... I got to tell you, it's unremarkable. I thought there was going to be like side effects. I thought it'd be grumpy. I thought it'd snap at people. Nah,
yeah.
I'm just going through life without a hangover.
Yeah.
It's pretty much like real life was before. This week, we have a guest was trying to get for a little while here into December. Brooke Takkar. Brooke Takkar.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
You are a comedian, a writer, and a mom, among other things.
Yes, and I like that you put mom last.
Well, it's probably the least work, right?
Absolutely. Whoa. I call it in.
Everybody says they're a mom first, not Brooke.
Well, I don't know. I had unprotected sex. What's harder, that or writing jokes to go on stage?
No,
right?
Unprotected sex is easy.
Public speaking is easiest. Yeah.
Right?
It's my
right.
Favorite.
Let's look at this a little bit differently. But yeah, no, thanks so much for having me.
Do you have anything you want to plug or promote before we get into it here?
That would be great. Just get the
pimp yourself
right out of the way. So I haven't been on stage a whole lot, so I'm working out some jokes and some sets, and I've had the good fortune to be invited back to a show on February 8th, which is a Thursday, and it starts at 8 at the UBC sub building.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I love university stuff.
I do too, because I can walk around and pretend that I'm smart enough to go
right.
there.
That's why
right?
I go.
Blend in. You bring a fucking backpack, you're in.
I buy a sweater.
Sorry. Am I allowed to swear? Probably
yeah,
should have.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
Fuck no.
Okay.
Fuck no.
Okay. And also, I can, without being judged or even noticed, I can mac on like 17-year-old boys.
Right. That's
right?
Why I do it.
There's no losing. So yeah, that should be super fun. Last time I went, there was a awesome group of comics that did it, and I have to tell you that when you approach a table full of male comics without much experience, I didn't have that much experience, and to have them be so welcoming and warm was fantastic. So hopefully some of those guys are back, but if not, it should be a super fun night of comedy, and it's a Thursday. What else are you doing? You're not watching. It's not the 90s. You're not watching
I'm going
Friends.
To see that comedy show.
Yeah.
Well, you live in the middle of Manitoba, so you might need to plan a way to get there. But yeah, no, it should be super fun, so I'd love it if people come out.
Are you saying the lush I Never Want to Be Young Again studio with its fountains and marble staircase?
It's perhaps out of the way.
A little
yeah,
off the beaten
you know,
track.
The chocolate fountain makes it worthwhile. But yeah, my grandparents... lived in Alder Grove a million years ago, so it was kind of cool being out here. I feel
nostalgic.
Yeah, and I don't know, like I always said, I would never go back, so I'm sure there's like a casino where their home used to be. but yeah, the suburbs. I haven't been out. I've been in the deep burbs for a while.
Because you live out in the city.
I do. I've become a bona fide city snob. And
where people just talk about having chickens. They don't actually have them.
Exactly. And yeah, and where it's very cool to not have a car. And then out here, it's very uncool.
Have you ever seen these people pose on Instagram or Facebook with a chicken, like to pretend that they're like granola or some kind of hippie? Have you seen this? I see this out of city folk on like Tinder, like Bumble. I see women, I should say. That is what I'm looking up on Bumble. posing with like a chicken, not a rooster, a chicken. And frankly, I think it might all be the same chicken, like, because there's no way these people have gone to a farm. There's some shenanigans.
Well, what if every gender has its secrets. Maybe there's a secret chicken going around. But my question is, are there men out there who are dying to fuck a farmer? What's the chicken? What's the appeal of the chicken? Like a fresh omelet in the morning?
If after you wake up and you have your avocado toast and your free trade coffee,
right. Delicious, both. Let him convince you otherwise.
You might be looking for that special girl with a farming experience.
There you go.
So you guys can basically stroke each other's hipster off.
Yeah.
Okay, are you guys attracted sexually to women with dirty fingernails? Because that's all I'm thinking about.
I'm not when not attracted to them. Yeah.
Not? Yeah. Oh, I'm a judgy city bitch then.
Well, you know, like our fingernails go different places than your fingernails.
Yeah.
But if she doesn't... Yeah, no, that's very interesting. They are chickens. Wow.
My wife's a big hippie, so I may have contended with dirty fingernails, although but she doesn't have the long...
Like, her friend Jessica, I could picture her posing with a chicken because she is so granola and so hippie and, like, of the earth, and I just think, like, it's a good look, but don't fake it.
No.
Like, some people legitimately, you know, are into, like, the animals and the farms.
You're kind of making me feel bad about something I did.
No, don't feel bad.
What did you pose with?
A chicken.
No. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, I was having a party in the backyard here, and I went to put them away, and one of the chickens wasn't away. And yeah, I'm like, Trevor, oh, it'd be funny if I just came and sat down with my chicken, like, petting it a cat.
No, that's different, because they're your chickens. I'm talking about people who are, like, posers with their fake chickens. That's what I'm talking about.
It all comes down to the problem that is dating apps and just how people choose to represent themselves. And if it's not your chicken and you're not a farmer, then from the jump, you are a liar.
Right?
And so you can't, like...
You know what?
I fucking hate.
You say you go to the gym and you don't? I think you're a liar.
And it is visible. You would shake their hand and be like, liar.
So, hey.
Well,
I got a picture with a tank once. I'm not a soldier.
To the gym.
I've only seen you from the waist up. Perhaps your legs are super ripped. I'm not sure. And we're all wearing hoodies. No, but I guess if going to the gym is important enough to you to list on a dating profile, then I think there is an expectation. There are keywords. We're not dummies, right?
Like, you know what? But people lie about little things. They lie about little things like family coming first. That is bullshit 9 times out of 10.
Yes.
Everybody writes, it's like, family's super important to me. Like, it's not. Shut up.
They're my top three.
Then date them if they're that important to you.
There you go.
Right?
We're not that far into the country here.
Yeah. But, thank God.
So you were saying in the comedy thing, though, and I was wondering this, is it predominantly male? Like,
I'm so new. I'm not what you would call an expert.
The groups that you've seen, just what you've seen.
From what I've seen, yes, especially for the hustlers in a good way. You know, people going, you're trying to get spots on the stage.
Open mics and stuff?
You know, like they have like a chicken under one arm and a mic in the other. Yeah, so it does feel like it is like a male dominated, but again, that doesn't matter to me. It's all about are you going to be kind, right? Yeah. Like I've done a few female centric shows. I did a way overreaching.
And that's mean, you're saying?
I auditioned for like funniest female. Like who the fuck do I think I am? But so I approached it, like 3 long tables of women also going for this, like, try to make eye contact. Hey, has everybody else got diarrhea? Like this is super intimidating. No, wouldn't even look at me. Whereas meeting these men, they're like, hey, how's it going? You know, so it's just interesting that, like there's some gender stereotypes that I've encountered. And I just, we're all just doing our best, right? Like,
well, Well, how I got even learned your name was through a shared video of you doing some stand up, and I thought it was funny, and I'm like, we've got a common friend. Maybe I can get this going on.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm not gonna go through your whole thing, but I got a question about one of your jokes. You tell a joke about chicken wings, and how you don't like them.
Yes.
And the punchline is, do you remember the punchline?
I would call your dad.
Are you trying to make a dad jokes a thing? Because like your mom jokes is a thing. That was a thinker.
I think that was more like insulting your dad's dick was my intent with that joke. But I think that, I mean, a lot of like male comedians that are fathers have made some amazing jokes, but there's a lot there that can be mined. But yeah, no, I think I tend to joke more about my own experiences. But I could certainly tell many hours of material based on like the dads that I know, including my own.
Well, and drawing from real life is really a good idea. That's right. Going to be sincere, or stealing other people's stuff. That also works pretty well.
Oh, 100%. Plagiarism is wonderful.
Go to Calgary, watch some stand-up, like small stand-up, right? Not Matt Foltron, who is going to be doing a show in Calgary, like smaller guys. Yeah, yeah.
I might go to that.
I might go with that with you.
You know his buddy Tom Segura's got a new special on Netflix.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
Maybe one of them would do the show one day.
There you go.
Hey, you know what? If Vancouver's own Kyle Bottom won't do the show, then I don't know if he
hasn't done the show.
You know what? I heard
he
him
looked
today.
On a map and realized we're in the middle of nowhere.
I heard him today on the CBC. So I think maybe he's grown a little bit too big for those kind of shenanigans.
Too big, too big.
Hey, the debaters. That's Canadian big.
Fuck Kyle Bottom. That's.
I don't. No,
I still like him.
Now.
He's a bearded weirdo.
We've seen him. He's done some local shows. He's pretty funny.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, no, I don't know many people. It is like any creative thing. Connections are important, and I'm garbage at that. You know, like this is where the mom comes from the bottom of the list to the top, where priority wise and free time wise.
Like, of course.
Right. Like I can't be at a club on midnight hoping I get on stage.
Because you got to get kids to school in the morning.
Yeah, but I think that. To survive, if you have any creativity or any dreams that way, you have to figure out a balance because parenting will never fulfill your every need. And if it does, yeah.
And you got to have three dimensions as a person.
Agreed. I need to be Brooke. Like, I love being mom. Don't get me wrong. Like, it's a joy and it's challenging and it's hard. But the times that I'm Brooke, you know, like, I can't lose those. You can't lose yourself in parenting.
I think that's why people have midlife crises.
I think that's a big part of it, too. And I think also... You know, when you hit a certain age, sometimes you become that character in the movie who's thinking back on all the things you wish were different. And then suddenly the road in front of you feels like it's not that long anymore. And then for myself, you go to UBC and you see, like I made a joke, like I could be their mom. Like when you're like, all those things crash down. But you can't lose sight that there's still awesome things about being the age that you are. And if you can't find any, that's on you.
That's the I Never Want to Be Young Again podcast. Part of that is we've got some stories from when we were young. I just don't really want to be young again. I'd rather start a podcast in my house, right? Which we have taken it on the road. We have done that. We've gone.
Nice. Oh yeah, that's right. We took it downtown for that Dreadnoughts one.
Yeah,
but couldn't come down for me. It's fine. It's cool.
I threw that out there actually.
Okay.
Reread your messages. I floated that out there, and you're like, no, I'll get.
No,
that.
But she agreed to that before she found out where this was.
Yes, to be fair. But I also understand that there's equipment, right? So coming, ideally, I want to make it as easy as possible.
It was really funny because we went to the Waldorf Hotel and got their smallest room when I requested their largest room, and I had to take the bed and lean it against the wall. We set up a table and all the equipment.
I moved all the furniture into the bathroom,
and he moved everything into the bathroom.
Gorilla.
And it's not a very nice hotel in East Hastings.
I know where how long ago, because they had like some cool guys came in and made it a something, and then something happened where they had to leave. It was a weird situation, but like I saw like a cool band play there. They created the tiki room.
You know what? It was nicer than I thought it would be. Say that.
I want to say October,
something like that. Yeah.
Okay, so it had like a resurgence when that stretch of the street started to kind of come back, and then some people, I think guys our age, came in and were like, "Let's restore it."
Gentrification,
like, right? But it still felt authentic. Like it, like I said, the tiki when you walked in, you felt like you were in like an Elvis Presley movie. Right. Like it wasn't like the Opus.
Yeah,
It wasn't too bad. I mean, I didn't leave anything that wasn't uninsured in the room.
Yeah, no call.
but. And they didn't really like me doing a podcast in there, especially because there was singing involved and we had lots of people going to the room and they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, Yeah, I'm doing a podcast.
They probably think you're filling up porno just like everybody else rents a room like that.
Is that what people do?
People rent hotel rooms to make low. Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You need to rent out your backyard here.
There's a lot of hotel porn out there.
Man, I need to.
Says a friend of mine.
I need to Google that.
Did you ever have a time where you went up on stage and like, and I find some of the best stories come from a place of vulnerability, but you ever reach it?
Because my average, I did. I've only done this a few times, but I was part of like a mom show that we did on Mother's Day, and it was at the Surrey Art Center building there. And I have, you know, like one of my first jokes is, the key to, you know, like living downtown in a one bathroom apartment is that you've got to be comfortable taking a shit in Tupperware, which I have done. And when I looked out in the lobby and saw everyone who was coming in, like average age 77. So I was like, oh, I'm already feeling nervous about these jokes. And yeah, it was like my mom was there. My husband was there. I think my mom might've fallen asleep. But yeah, there was a lot of...
That's a tough room, though.
Like, uncomfortable laughing, which is not the same, right? and a little kind of, like, groaning. So yeah, I definitely left the stage thinking, like, oh, my ass is sweaty right now. So yeah, it's not... But you know what? It doesn't kill you. Like, so many things, I think, being younger, being my 20s, I was scared of everything. And then you realize you do, and it's like, what's the worst that can happen?
Oh, yeah. No, you got to own it. Just jump in, both feet.
Exactly. Right? Like, when you think about it, you have very little to lose. Like, it is intimidating, but, you know, like, you're not going to, like, physically be injured.
No.
You know, you're not going to feel any pain.
No.
And so, really, it's just, like, psychologically, you have to prepare yourself for that.
I like public speaking, and I think, like, a lot of people in my circle of friends, I kind of get some credit for being funny.
Yep.
And I think, like, oh, I could do stand-up, and I think a lot of people think that, right? And I work on a little bit of stuff that I would use if I was on stage, and I wouldn't mind trying an open mic, but I do like kind of the rush. Just like karaoke's a bit of a rush. I kind of like karaoke.
Yep.
I like snowboarding is a bit of a rush. They're just two different things, but they both get your heart pounding.
Oh, absolutely. As soon as I tell someone, which it doesn't take much prompting, that I've done stand-up, they always say, oh, I would love to do that. Honestly, I took classes. Everybody in the world can do stand-up.
Interesting. Yeah, okay.
Everybody can. The first class that we took, there was a dentist who was not funny. And we were all, like, I was trying to keep my face very even and not be judgy, but just thinking, this guy is fucked. But we had homework, you know, like writing jokes is the hardest part, but you know, like when I'm doing dishes, I put my recorder on and I just start talking about shit that I think is stupid or great. And then I work into bits that way. By like the fifth class, this dentist was one of the funniest guys that I've heard of. Yes. Yeah, so
he's a good student.
It can be taught. And everyone has weird shit in their life, especially like job related. He had some amazing stories about being a dentist, you know, like, and wanting to, like, drive a drill through his skull. Like, just absurd things. Like, everybody has it in them. It's just, I think, you know, like, you can't just pick up... I couldn't pick up a snowboard and go snowboarding, but with some lessons, I could. So, to whatever degree of success, it depends what your goal that way. But if it's just to get on stage and tell a few jokes and get a few laughs, honestly, if you prepare, just like anything. I think that was the most surprising thing about taking the class, is that a lot of it is... just boring preparation and running the jokes over and over. If you want to, you can run it by people. I would just walk the blocks around my work and say it out loud, and then if people walk by, I just stop so I didn't look crazy.
Just working on my tight five, that's all.
Exactly. But honestly, if you are, especially if you're like the funny person in your group, you 100% could do it. But I think that having some discipline and having like some, you know, like solid 5 minutes of jokes that you really like and have worked on, yeah, I would say absolutely go for it, because the rush is insane. When someone laughs at something that you've invented, holy shit, I don't know what heroin's like, but I'm sure it's close.
I bet it's awesome, but so is stand-up, I'm sure. In my adult life, I did have an experience public speaking, and I made the group laugh, but in my work, I was asked to speak in front of a high school. You don't know this about me, I'm a car salesman. Your opinion of me is about to drop. And being a comedian, that's a good amount of material to start with. But they asked me to speak at Clayton High School, where I went to its adjoining high school. And I talked to the kids about credit scores and lease rates and financing and stuff like that. So they told me the day before, they're like, my boss is like, hey, Trevor, wear a suit tomorrow. Like, cool, cool, okay, what are we doing? Are we going to lunch with somebody cool or something like that, right? And he's like, no, you're going to go to school and talk about, you're going to do, you're going to have a talk. I'm like, wow. About what? He's like, I don't know. I'm like, I have nothing prepared. He's like, yeah, you'll figure something out. And I did. They wanted me to do, like, the class was an hour and a half, and they're like, you know, you can do half an hour to an hour, yep. right? Like, we've got work we could do. And I think I nailed it. I made some jokes. There's people falling asleep in class because it's teenagers. And then a couple of kids asking smart questions. And I'm like, I'm going to be working for you one day. You know, like, but it was the experience public speaking. And I like it. I like yeah. it. I like the right. I like.
Right. You're a person who, you know, enjoys that. But I was speaking to a friend earlier today about, like, how in high school we didn't learn practical shit like that. We didn't learn, like, how to yeah. do our taxes, maybe how to put a bit of money aside from each check for an RRSP, like, so many things. So them having the foresight
credit
to
score.
Right? Get to someone and be like, hey, you know, like, there's no adult courses outside of this, right? Like, how to be an adult, unless your parents are very diligent and give a shit and you want to pass on that knowledge, like... Like, every time tax time comes around, I feel like I'm 16 again. Like, I'm not prepared for this, you know?
See, I'm an adult. I hire a guy to do it. Mm-hmm. That's how grown up I am.
No, but that is very smart. But I think I just always feel like there's many things that I don't. As I've gotten older, I've realized I'm just going to ask people that know a lot about this to give me kind of like the Coles Notes version of that. But yeah, if you think you know it all, you really don't.
Well, you're a mother, right?
One.
Son or daughter?
Daughter.
So your daughter, say she's, I don't know, say 15 years older than she is now. If you could give her like two pieces of financial advice, like something really simple, something she wouldn't just forget because, yeah, mom.
Yep.
But like something, you know, like what would it be? Like, because if I had a child and that's something I like think about every day, I would tell them like, don't get a credit card, don't get overdraft, because I fucked it up and you will too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like,
but that's how I learned.
That's what everybody does.
I think the tricky part about parenting.
Not my brother, I don't think.
No.
Here's a guy who had life figured out when he was like 14.
He lived with his parents till he was 30.
And bought a house right out.
Okay, but I have to say, so did I. But it was easy and chill.
Yeah, exactly.
The tricky thing about parenting is that I'm realizing my kid's 7 now is that you want them to have a better life than you did. I had and have a great life, but you want to try and pass on tips and advice so that they can avoid some of the pitfalls you fell in. But then there's the argument like, well, those pitfalls make you the person that you are. They make you stronger. You can read all the advice in the world, like, you know, like, don't do this so this doesn't happen. But, you know, she's going to get her heart broken and that'll make her stronger in relationships, etc. Maybe you do need to have a financial fuck up to realize, okay, I never want to feel this way again.
But that goes against your natural instinct too, right? You want them to shield them from everything.
Exactly. That's, you know, why helicopter parenting became such a thing, because we want things to be perfect, but
it became acceptable, which made it more of a thing, right?
Exactly. But all that being said, I would say that the most successful adults I know are, like I say, they put aside a little bit of money each check, even just for a rainy day, because life, as you get older, there's always going to be financial surprises. And if you don't have something to fall back on, that can be difficult. And then also really understand, like, the allure of credit. Like, it's a big pit that looks super fun, but if you can't pay off your credit card bill every month, then that should be the ideal, right? Or if you pay cash for everything. Because honestly, I think with the advent of, you know, debit and especially credit, like, I don't feel that money leaving my soul. Whereas if I got paid in cash from my job and I had to budget that cash out, every 20 that would leave my wallet, I would feel like I would second guess purchasing, right? Like,
well, now you just tap a card.
Beep, right? Beep. So that, yeah. And I think just knowing the value of a dollar. And then my third thing was don't spend your 20s collecting collectibles. Do you know I had like every figurine from TV show Lost?
Lost has figurines?
It had. Oh, yes.
What? You know about this?
If you went to a comic shop like 10, well, however long ago that was, there's a huge industry of toys and collectibles from pop culture that you can waste a lot of money on. So I was...
You know, now that I know, because I learned about your family tree when you got here, it makes a little bit of sense.
Right, and my husband is also very much into that. So we have like, you know, like one Christmas...
Oh, you're codependently nerdy.
Right? $350 Batman statues. That's by Jim dream. Lee. But then... Guess what? Like, you need just that money that I spent on those toys. I could have bought a couch. How about some artwork? You know, like, I didn't
comedy glasses.
Right. I didn't. Yeah, exactly. I didn't keep my eye on the prize. I think there's that that interesting period where you're just absolutely living in the now and not realizing that, fuck, a couch is $800 or like a good bed. Get a good ass bed.
Let's not forget, if you're young and you're collecting, like, say, comic books for this example, you're going to have to move them every year until you buy a place. And you know what? Comic book boxes are heavy.
Do you want to guess how many are in my storage unit in my home right now? Probably 50 or
yeah.
so.
And I helped my brother-in-law move before. It's ridiculous. That guy has collections of books and comics, and it's infuriating.
Yes. They were approximately, like, you hold a comic, you're like, that doesn't weigh that much.
Yeah.
Yeah, they go into a box.
Box of them does.
1,000 pounds. Done. Yeah.
You know what Burnaby has a lot of? 3-story walk-ups.
You know, I didn't buy a lot of comic books or collectibles in my 20s, but what? I did another side of a stupid coin.
What did you buy?
I drank all my money. You know?
You have nothing
oh,
to show.
Oh, and was there was a girl there, something. Too, that kind of milked me dry.
You get something
dry,
to show
so.
For that? You get memories from
an enlarged
that.
Liver?
Some no, stuff
you
I can talk about.
Get memories from drinking too much.
Really? I don't have many.
Memories? Are you kidding me? I have memories of all the bad things I've done. It's great.
Yeah, really? I actually blackouts? Didn't.
One
I didn't
day,
black out a lot.
I am going to blow a 4-year-old's mind.
I was worried where that sentence was going to go.
I'm not going to lie. I was a little nervous.
What? One day I'm going to blow a 4-year-old's mind.
You all better not edit that. No.
We didn't say it. We
were edit that down to be
no.
perfect.
Okay,
no.
So what do you have? Oh God, what do you have that a 4-year-old wants? Like, this isn't going to get any better.
No, I just meant like telling them like terrible stories.
Okay, but why 4-year-old?
Okay, because I'm gonna be like 85, right?
Okay,
and they're gonna be like, look, this guy is on his deathbed, and he wants to tell me something funny. And be like, I'll be like, I'm wearing a suit and I'm dying. And you know what's like really funny? And then I make some Norm MacDonald shit.
Me and Trevor, the guy dying used to live beside a bar.
No. I wouldn't like. No, I would whip out the good stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
You're obviously not whipping it out on
no,
the podcast.
No, the good stuff is the kind of stuff you don't say in on a microphone. You know.
Yeah.
The good stuff. You don't tell people.
Well, you shouldn't.
That you know.
But I did waste a lot of my money in my 20s. Sounds like you did as well. Jeff?
Should have bought a good bed.
That is actually.
No, I'm not kidding. Like, as an old man that I am, a quality mattress, the kind of mattress that costs you $600, it's worth it.
Right? But yeah.
The bowling ball one
you,
comes
you,
with the
glass
of wine.
You sleeping on a single bed? Like, good mattress is like a grand.
Oh.
Right, and then you got to frame it, because if you have a bed on the ground...
$800 on... Yeah, you can't do that anymore.
You know, I did that in high school, but every day...
But I'm not going to the Bay, you know?
Costco.
Well, now like on, especially on this podcast, they advertise all, like, remember when the Casper first came out?
Oh, yeah, fucking box in the mail. That's crazy. Yeah. Mattress.
It, like, just expands after you cut it open, just...
Do you think those are really as good as they say they are? Because they're not a sponsor of the show.
My brother has one. He got one from a company that I won't name. But yeah, it showed me the size of the box. And yeah, you just unroll it. And
what was that company name again?
Casper.
Can't remember exactly. But no, he's super happy with it. And no, all those adult things are important. Yeah. But I didn't buy any of them.
Well, speaking as an adult, that's a good segue, by the way. Because on the clipboard here, you've got... stealing as an adult, and I want to hear more about that.
Did you guys steal when you were young?
Yeah, I stole a few things when I was young for the rush, not because like I needed things. You know, maybe a couple times because I needed things.
Yeah, mostly just like candy
just
bars and
bad.
Stuff. And
yeah,
as an adult, I've couple of times, done it. I don't know
like,
why.
Looking back, it was just to be bad, right? It was rebelling.
My friends were doing it, you know, candy bars, CDs.
Yeah. Like some really superficial shit, not like necessity or like desire even.
But even though I was rocking like long hair and a Kurt Cobain-ish like attitude, I was actually a little afraid of getting caught because I'm a pussy from
the
suburbs,
part of the rush.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
But no, like why didn't you steal when you were younger? Like what were your motivations behind that?
Well, I didn't need to. My mom was the type of mom who would give me a 20 with... like no hesitation slash her purse was out a lot and it was mayhem, so I could easily take it. I try not to, but I did, and I still do have a very healthy fear of authority. And then I also worked retail, and when little shits would steal, I felt I'm not stealing from me, but it just felt like the lowest thing you could do. So I didn't need to. Peer group wasn't into it, so I escaped all that. But stealing as an adult, I I think it's just one of those things, like, what's something that's going to give you an adrenaline rush?
There you go.
First time I did it from a big box store, and it was an honest accident where you put the box of diapers, which costs approximately $1,000, on the bottom of your cart.
Oh, yeah.
And you go through the lane, and you unload your cart, and it's busy, and you unload, and you make your small talk. If you're unlucky, you have to bag your own shit. And then you go to your car, and you look under, you're like, oh, I forgot the diapers.
But you're already outside.
I'm not going back in.
Yeah.
So then I realized, okay, so what else could I get away with here? Because I think the key to a successful heist is, can you make it look like an honest mistake?
Deniability.
Right?
Yes.
Just like, oh, gosh, I didn't even see that, right? Like, what are they going to say? You
exactly.
know, I'm pretty sure not going to call cops on a late 30s mom. So, yeah. I mean, it's been a few times. There was a set
you
of.
You got plausible deniability
exactly,
on your side.
Exactly. Diapers.
Pinch your kid so that he cries. I'd be like, what? It was on the bottom.
So busy, so preoccupied. The one thing, though, that was like, okay, I couldn't explain this away. There was a thing in nail polish that the Kardashians put out. I didn't want to line their pockets, but it was a really good glitter. And if you know nail polish, a good glitter is hard to come by. So I went to the store, again, big box store. They're not going to lose any money. Tucked it in my sleeve and I walked. I did the whole shop all the way through. And I was like, if someone was watching, I think they would have approached me by now.
Right.
Still, heart racing, pumping out of my chest. There was no way I could reasonably explain this to anyone. I would have been super embarrassed, but I got away with it. So, I'm not super proud of it, but I don't know. Sometimes
you look a little proud of it.
But, well, it's a really good glitter. It's a really good glitter, if I haven't stressed that enough. Yeah, getting away with it, but it's not like it then opened a Pandora's box. I haven't done it since, you know, but it was just kind of like.
But you get the appeal. Because you don't need to steal that nail polish.
Sure.
You could have purchased the nail polish.
Oh, 100%. It was $10, which, again, is a bit pricey.
Hey, wait, how much were the diapers, though? Probably 20, right?
No, man. Big it's box like of diapers?
$50. I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
No, but they don't tell you that shit. Okay. Baby stuff is very expensive, and you have to buy a
lot of
it.
What's the most expensive thing you ever stole?
A giant rug.
What? How'd you get that?
A giant rug.
A rug that was taller than me rolled up.
What? What did you do? Where?
I wrote it down. I wanted to tell the story when you were done.
Please do.
Okay, so me and the fam. So, and this is worse because I was with my infant child and my wife.
But again, so you wouldn't look like a common thief. Though.
That's what I'm thinking,
good cover
right?
Story.
Like, if you're going to try to cross the board with drugs, you put it in with the baby carriage,
and
right?
And your grandmother in the backseat.
Yeah, exactly.
In your Yaris.
And this is a case of hiding in plain sight. We went to the grocery store and I never saw rugs there before, but they had some rugs and they were cheap.
Yeah.
It's still in my living room, by the way.
Love it.
And I'm like, oh, we need this for the floor because we're spilling crap all over the carpet. And I grab it and I'm carrying it around and we go in the lineup and, the people in front of us, maybe one or two people in front of us were couponers.
That exists in Canada? I didn't.
Oh, I didn't come across it a lot, but.
Your old friend from Burger King, she's a couponer, isn't she?
Yeah, Char. She actually started a store in her house because she'd be like, I got all this stuff and they gave me $3. Like,
this extreme couponing thing is weird.
But you don't want to get caught behind them in line because that takes a while. They're like this, and they're going through the bill to make sure the lady gets it right.
Yeah.
And we're there. We've got a baby, I've got this rug that I'm carrying beside me because it doesn't fit into the cart.
Yeah.
And by the time we got up to the girl, like the girl at the teller, she's done.
Yeah.
And they're running things through. And I realize everybody is so demoralized by this transaction before us that I'm going to walk it right past them.
Yeah.
And the only way I got away with it is my wife didn't notice. Because she couldn't pull this kind of shit off. This isn't in her. And we get through. And I think it was like $40 or $50. Now, again, I could have bought it. I was planning to buy it.
Yeah.
But we were pretty fucking broke that first couple of years. You know, my wife was a student when she got pregnant, so there was no maternity leave. And I mean,
rough.
I had a roommate before we moved into because we had the baby, then moved in together afterwards because we wanted to do it like in the worst possible way.
It sounds like check.
Just, so out the bachelor lifestyle, let's move into a family and somehow make it through this mess. But she was going to school in like Castlegar. See how well we planned that?
That, yes.
So anyways, we got out with the rug. We make it to the car, and I look at her, and I just know she's going to be annoyed by this. I go, hey, Michelle. She goes, what? And I go, I stole this rug. She goes, what? She goes, how did you forget to pay? I go, no, I didn't.
I didn't forget.
I didn't forget. And she's like, I can't believe it. Anyways, we loaded in, drove away. But you know what? Part of me feels like there'll be some karmic retribution.
No. You know, karma's not real. Karma's not real.
I know it's not, but
Trevor, look at me. Karma's not real.
Neither is superstition, and I can't break mirrors. I just can't bring myself to do it.
What if you? I mean, one day I'm sure you will give $50 to a charity. Like, you're even, right? And also, are you stealing from someone at a flea market or someone at a like local artisan market? And of course not. We're stealing from big box stores who write this shit off freely.
Well, they've got a budget for that. Absolutely. Right? It's justifying a bad behavior.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I'm not going to tell my daughter these stories.
I'm going to be real with myself. I stole that just because I was in a mood, waiting in line. I'm like, you know what?
God, fuck them.
I saw the opportunity.
Fuck them and the coupons.
But right? You know what? It was also fun.
Yeah?
I walked out. We got there. And again, heist. I think that's a good word to use. We load
in
the car.
You're checking the exits. You're checking for secret shoppers.
And I've got that rug for like 4 or 5 years now.
Best rug in the world because it was free, right?
Yes. I actually stole more recent than that. I was in Sears. I was in a weird mood.
That's why they went bankrupt.
It was because they were bankrupt. Yeah. Much going on. Yes, there was so much going on. Earlier that morning, I found out my grandpa passed away.
Oh, shit.
I was on my way to pick up Jessica, who's been on the show a few times, and we were going to go shopping. Now, all I did was I put on a scarf. And I've got all this stuff.
Yeah.
And it started off like I almost forgot to like ring it in with the rest of my stuff. But I'm like, they're not going to close down because I stole this scarf.
Yeah.
They're closing down and I stole this scarf.
Right.
You know?
And if you're paying and they're like, oh, is that your scarf? So I'd be like, oh, shit, it's on me. Like, again, easy mistake to make.
And I think I bought, because I bought a couple suits and stuff and I spent a good amount there. And I just like, nobody's going to talk to the guy who spent $500. Because I got some Christmas shopping done too, right? Like, oh, that $9 scarf that we marked down to $5 that I just left on. Again, though, I felt something about me was like, but I'm going to blame that on finding out my grandpa died for some reason. No, that would just put me that put me in mood that day. I think it was grief shopping too because
I think
spend
that's legitimate,
a lot
of
money.
Yeah, I also remember that I was you know, like the happiest place on earth is Disneyland. For me, the least happiest place is Home Depot because fuck that place. And
Home Depot.
Here's the thing. I'm not a DIYer. I'm not a crafty person. I don't know if something breaks. I was raised to call someone and fix it for me. And when you go to Home Depot and you need help, good fucking luck. You need to find the associate who's assigned to that department. So I pocketed, I think, like 4 screws. They weren't a lot of money, but I was just like, fuck this. If no one is willing to come over here and help me, because that whole screw aisle smelled like screws, that like dirty, greasy metal smell.
Really,
and I was
does.
Like, you're going in my pocket. We're fucking getting out of here. Basically, what's the quickest way for me to get out of this living hellhole? I fucking hate.
And it's orange, the most violent color.
Right? And it's too big. The ceilings are huge. If you need to go like 3 aisles down, you got to like hire a sled dog.
Yeah, it's a
like,
walk.
It's forever.
All cement floors.
Pack a
no
snack.
Aesthetics.
It's not comfortable. Exactly. Or they sell like hot dogs. Like, great.
Gross. You know, I flash back to when my parents set me up to steal. Now
I like this. Let's blame it on
They listen
someone
to me.
Else.
And remember when you're younger and you used to ride bikes? That's how you got around, and your parents would send you to the store to get something on your
bikes.
Bike.
Yeah. I rode bikes a little bit, but then I think I broke my hymen on a bike seat once, so that was a little bit distressing.
Once? Yeah, you can only do that.
That's way more interesting than my story.
Right. But no, bikes got me to Sev. I was like a fat, like, you know, there was no Netflix by then, so I had to buy like Bob Big Bopper, buy your candy. Like, that was, and like, that was something to break up our day. Remember having all the time ever?
I remember having all the time and none of the money. It was amazing.
You needed to come and hit up my mom's purse back then. But yeah, sorry. Yes, I do remember bikes. I haven't been on a... When's the last time you guys were on a bike? It's been a million years.
A month ago.
A month?
Yeah, Jeff likes bikes.
Do you feel young and confident on a bike? Or do you feel like old guy?
No, I feel like somebody's going to see the 35-year-old me on a BMX bike, think I stole it, and that I'm doing meth. Like, that's honestly, like, I'm afraid to be, like, seen like that, especially when I'm riding around at night. Because I, you know, I was a shift worker for a long time. Yeah. I get off work. If I had some energy, I'd be like, oh, go for a bike. It'd be 3 a.m. You'd see me. You can't tell me from a copper thief.
No. And I think if I saw a guy at 3 a.m. on a BMX, I wouldn't be like, oh, he's just got off shift working. He's just getting some fresh air.
Exactly.
It, it reeks.
Yeah. I used to ride my bike to work, and so, it was a, wasn't one of those road bikes. I feel like if you rode one of those, like Tour a 10 de France, speed. Yeah.
Man, you rode a 10 or a fixie. Have you seen these fixies?
Yeah.
Shit.
Anyways, so my parents at the time were having a barbecue, and they're like, oh, Trevor, go to this bakery in Cloverdale and buy some buns. Now, they don't want to tell me to steal. And it's not really, they're like, listen, there's a thing called a baker's dozen, and that's 13. Okay. So when you buy the buns, just tell them you have a dozen, because that's a baker's dozen. And they start laughing, like I think they've had, you know, a couple of beers. Yeah. My dad never drank much, but like I know there's a lot of like elbow bumping, like giggling, like yeah. And so I go, I'm like, so you want me to take 13 and tell them it's 12? And they're like, no, we want you to get a dozen. Wink. And I'm like,
that's a weird test.
That's very confusing.
And
yes.
And so I'm like, so you want me to get a dozen? You want me to get 12? They're like, well, a baker's dozen. Anyways, I left and I rode down the store. I'm like, there's no way they want me to steal a bun, right? Like, that's the thought I had. So I got 12. Because I'm like,
they literally told you to, and then they also literally told you not to. So it's like, it's what, who to listen to, right?
But it's also Cloverdale, though, right? Like, that it's not a big spot. Like, you know, you don't want to get banned from the one good bun bakery. So
I think it was Safeway. Anyways, I went down, got 12, and they're like, there's a dozen here. I'm
just
like,
tell me, can't count.
But you wanted a dozen. And they're like, you were supposed to, and I think they were setting me up. They're going to call me later.
Yeah.
You know what? You, the moral authority there, to like really give them a lecture about honesty.
Well, exactly. But then you need to
be like, Dad, did you know the theft is totally wrong? It might be one of the commandments, and you're not being a good Catholic right now.
My dad, I think Catholic's on my mom's side, but my dad would, honestly though, I was a Dennis the Menace looking kid. I was a perfect like rube to set up for like stealing. Like nobody would have suspected me.
Maybe they just didn't want you at that gathering.
Hey, what was that word?
Oh, that's it. That's
right. Is there juvie in Cloverdale? Like, what happens if you like if you're a kid in Cloverdale? Because like we moved when I was in grade 10 from White Rock to Cloverdale, so I still went to school.
Oh, you weren't moving on up, eh?
No, definitely not. I drove past Lord Tweedsmuir once. So I was like, that's not fucking happening. Which, looking back,
it looks like a prison.
Right. And this is before it had like the renovations and stuff, yeah. Like the 90s.
Oh, the old one.
Yeah.
My dad actually went to that one too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that says a lot. Oh shit, what was I going to say? Cloverdale. Oh yeah, so if you committed a crime as a youth in Cloverdale, what happens?
It's fair game. Like nothing happens, right? Like they tell your parents, like his parents put him up to it. You know, like
I got chased by cops a bunch of times and they never caught me. They didn't have the fastest of cops.
You know what, Trevor? They're not terribly motivated. They don't want to arrest you. They want to scare you away from
where
they
were chasing me off. They were chasing me to catch me. Yeah.
No, but I think what your parents were trying to do is like have a little bit of fun so that later on they could maybe, if you didn't do your job very well, get an angry phone call from either the police or like the store owner, and they could laugh it off because, you know, they've had some wine.
Oh, that kid.
Like,
yeah.
Knowing that there's really no consequence.
Yeah.
Like, nothing's going to happen. You know, when it's...
I think it's one of those things that was probably very commonly done, and they were just trying to, like... They're like, just trying to explain it to me. Anyways, this is the way I remember it. Now, sometimes memory is tricky.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Right? I mean, mm-hmm. I will acknowledge that... There are certain things that I remember, and I've been told different things how I remember them, and I'm trying to wonder who's right here.
Yeah,
but
I feel like a lot of my memories of my childhood are from just literally lifted from movies I watched, because that's all we would do as kids is just summer go and rent like 6 movies a day from the video store.
Pick a movie.
Six movies for 6 days for $6 or something.
Right?
Oh, yeah, I did that.
Yep, just nonstop. Like, I didn't see the sun in the summer. Yeah. So I worry. Well, A, that set me up for a life of extreme disappointment, because life is not like movies. High school was not like the movies.
Depends on what movies you're watching.
Or Archie. I wanted high school to be like Archie comics. Yeah. And that was.
I had an Archie comic.
I watched a little flick called Short Bus, and life was exactly like that.
Really? I didn't know you could do that kind of yoga.
No.
Man, good old Cloverdale.
See Jackie in the corner having a laugh.
Oh yeah, we have studio audience day. We didn't even acknowledge them in the intro.
Yeah, they're live tweeting audience. This.
Hey.
Yeah, I saw a thing on Facebook too.
Basically, she's calling the cops right now.
Hey, have you guys heard about Trevor and his... I've got some criminals here. They're sharing crime stories.
Right?
They're watching bad movies.
In Cloverdale, I did get pulled over once because I ran like a late orange light. But then didn't have my wallet because we just went down to McDonald's. Didn't have my wallet. Was with my brother. Didn't have shoes on and had a dog. And I was like, fuck, was this milkshake really worth it? I think he just let us go with a warning. But the best experience, I mean, I have very few experiences with cops because I'm terrified of them. But when I was younger, I think I'm still in high school, the cops knocked on the front door. And my first thought was, like, what have I done? Like, I knew I'd done nothing wrong, but why are the cops here? And they're like, do you have a car with this license plate number? And I said, yes. And thinking, like, do they come to your house when you're caught speeding? Like, yes. It, like, just like, here it is in the garage. Search it as you like. You can have it. Whatever. I'm so panicking right now. And then, like, so we had a report from a citizen that someone in this car had pointed a gun at someone on the sidewalk.
Oh, my God.
So I go from, like,
you have a lot more street cred than I gave you, than I thought.
But do you know what has happened here is that I had picked my brother up. He needed to do a project for school. And what I didn't know is, so I took him to a dollar store. He got some props. And one of those props was a fake gun. Oh, like orange. Like as fake can be.
Yeah. It had the orange tip. It's legit.
Right? So, and as I was pulling up to drop him off at his friend's place where they were going to do this project, he leaned out the window and, like, I think it was a cap gun even, and fired the cap gun at his buddy who was walking to the house. So some fucking nerd in Cloverdale, some neighborhood watch, called the cops. So then the cops like, okay, we need you to come in the cop car with us and take us to this house.
Fat chance.
And I was like,
This is the investigations going on now.
Yes. And I'm like, I don't remember the exact address, but I'm also furious because I'm like, what's the end of this? Am I going to get a fine because my fuckhead brother, you know, did a cap out the window? So we pull up to the house. They are filming a skit in which they're in the kid who lived there's dad's van with fake cocaine all over a table. And we get out. The cop starts to talk to my brother. Like, my brother is stunned. His friends are stunned. I just start crying hysterically, just standing like so upset and nervous. And then the cop says to my brother, you know, if you had pointed that gun at me, I would have pulled my gun and shot you. And then I'm super hysterical. And my brother's just like, I'm in so much trouble. And then so he comes home. I don't talk to him for like 12 years. I get over it. Nothing ever happened. But I found out later that the dad that lived there actually had a bunch of drugs in his home. So I'm sure when the cops pulled up.
Wait, who did?
The homeowner of where they were filming that skit. But then I was like, what fucking skit is this? Your teacher's like, yes, go do a skit about pretend drug dealers. And I was like, what the fuck? But my brother also...
I did one.
Used a really? My brother used a...
No, there was a high school project where, I played a drug dealer.
It's probably the most fun ever, but what class? Oh, wait,
was that with me?
Was it? With
Coral.
And her cousin or something?
No, that was me.
No, there was Rob. Rob was there.
Rob was there. Rob was there. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we did that together.
Oh, Jesus. So,
what class? But
let's go back to our guest here.
Yeah, sorry.
No, but that's very... I just was running like...
class was that for? Good fucking question.
We didn't
get
a grade mark.
I didn't get to do that.
Mr. Carr, social studies?
Yes, it was social studies.
Social studies is so vague. Anything in this world can be a social study.
He let us go. We'd probably got a good grade on that, actually.
That is awesome.
Shouldn't have. It was trash. It was worse than short bus.
But, you know.
No, it wasn't.
I think there was somebody who said, though, I bet every kid who did that was stoked to do it. And as a teacher, right? Like, if you can give them a project where you see, like, enthusiasm, and maybe one of those hundreds of kids that you teach will go on to make a film or become, you know, like, it might inspire
something.
Or an
awesome podcast.
Exactly. Exactly.
I forget what the point of all that was.
I was just telling the terrible cop story. And then the cops drove us home. And my
Really, they just made a big deal to scare you up? Is that what happened?
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Or you got a record now?
Well, because it's not now and it's not in the States, my brother is white, I think he'd be okay. But seriously, like, they are. Like, if you point something that looks a gun at a cop, that's
Hold
a
on. Is somebody on the street move. Says that they saw somebody, like, point a gun at somebody, and, you know, they go to your house and you're like, oh, it was a toy. They're like, we've heard that before. You know, they want to see the toy gun or the real gun. And, you know, they just want to be sure because, you know, you got to be sure. They have a shitty job sometimes. And sometimes it's making sure guns are toys.
Yeah, no,
and going to crying girls' houses and like driving, like, you know what? It's a weird world out there. And some people get paid by the hour.
No, for sure. I had no malice against them. It just.
You remember when we lived in Cloverdale together?
Yeah. Whereabouts, your worst roommate? Cloverdale's vast.
Crappy apartment's not that vast. It was. Do you know where the Cloverdale Station Pub used to be?
No, give me another landmark.
Lorco.
Lorco.
We weren't near Lorco. The Japanese restaurant.
That where we
OEC. Went?
Is that near the main drag?
So it's not too far away from the 7-Eleven.
Okay, the 7-Eleven.
Okay, so if you take not 176, but the other street over down, there's a bit of an apartment complex, like a few apartments there. We were in one of those.
Remember the blue buildings, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, it was the other blue buildings.
It was beside the blue buildings.
Yeah, not the ones where those girls got murdered.
No.
Yeah, it's a different one.
There was a murder in Cloverdale during my run?
There's been a couple. There's been shootings.
Yeah.
The Legacy? Shit happened there.
Do you guys like true crime?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, just back to those apartments. What were your neighbors like? Were they like a novel unto themselves?
I don't remember. Neighbors were
so not even directly. Like just who?
Like dirtbags?
We were the cleanest, like showering wise, you know, but the most loud and annoying living.
If you're
19
or 20 and you're like, you know, cleaner, more responsible than your neighbors, you got scummy neighbors.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I remember I started. I saw a girl. I met a girl at a through a friend at a club, and after she told her boyfriend she was driving somebody home, we started seeing each other, and that like the first time we like I took her home, it was and she went the next day. About a week later, I'm gonna say her name. I'm not gonna say her name.
Was she murdered?
Her name was Sarah. We'll call her Sarah. So Sarah, she had loose morals, and she came over, pretty girl. It was so our first like date, because the first thing we did wasn't a date.
Right.
It ended well, but it wasn't a date. And she comes over, and we're like smoking a little bit of weed. We're gonna go to the local pub, have a few drinks, and end this date like we ended the last not date. and we're just kind of getting going, and we just smoke one down or something. And then my phone rings. It was in the wall, and that's how you buzz people in, right? So I answer, "Hey," and all of a sudden here. "Hello, is this Trevor Allen?" in a very serious voice. And I'm like, yes, because I am an idiot. And he's like, "This is Constable Neely, and I'd like to come up and speak with you." And I go, "Hang on for a second." And I hang up the phone, realizing that's not how you put it on hold. And in my apartment, just to paint a picture, we had a big, pretty big apartment. We had a couch. I had my scooter in there.
It was probably almost 1,000 square feet. It was probably like 950.
That's ballin'. That's ballin'. Yeah.
We had a golf course and a shooting range.
Yes. And what, sorry, like a Razor scooter? Or like?
No, I had a 50cc Yamaha BWS. That stands for big wheel scooter.
And the big wheel was on the front.
And it's in there because you didn't want it stolen? Because I don't really think of like scooters as decor. That's just where you put
it. I think I was working on it in my living room.
As you do.
Yeah, because that's a... We're terrible tenants.
But somebody buzzed you at your apartment, but you weren't at the apartment.
No, they buzzed me, and I was in the apartment. We were about to go out on a date. Oh, okay. So I'm like, he buzzes up.
This guy's cock-blocking you.
The phone rings again, and I answer it, and he's like, "Hi, is this Trevor?" And I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to come down and talk to you, right? So I hang up the phone, and I can hold my shit together when I've smoked a little bit. So I go downstairs, and I'm just like, "Hey, so what is this about?" Because I'm not bringing him up to my... weeds
no, like he's, fair enough
yeah I'm gonna talk to him outside.
Your bong collection?
He doesn't appreciate it. Which I had a fantastic bong collection,
and
by the way
he doesn't appreciate it.
They never
so
do.
I come out and he's like I suspect he's not a very good cop, because I don't think he knew anything was up with me whatsoever.
No. And if you're inside, you had a smell to you.
You know what this this was about? I had illegally passed a bus.
Yep.
That's what
they do
about.
Come to your house.
Sometimes you pass a bus.
You know what? It was a school bus. And that's a serious that is a serious crime.
Yeah, that's right. Business.
Because kids is always getting hit.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And you don't want to be a kid hitter. How did they, are there cameras on buses? How did they?
He must have got my license plate number.
Oh, okay.
But this was a month before. right? Mm-hmm. Like they didn't follow this up right away. Now, I did drive the street that he had said. There is a school.
Yeah.
I know when there's a sign that says stop. Yeah, because stop because that little sign
slings out.
Now, I can't imagine a situation where I would have ignored that. Yeah. But
not every bus has that sign.
And if they don't have that sign, I might not stop.
Right. I didn't know that was a rule if they didn't have the sign.
So if because they pulled over, there was a bus lane, and if anyways, he goes, do you ever take this road, 60th Avenue by this? I'm like, yeah, it's actually between here and work. I'm a pretty honest guy.
I don't think there's a problem with that. But yeah. Like, did he tell you at the beginning this is where the line of questioning was going to, or was he just parsing out questions?
No, he starts asking questions and I just start answering it, right? And that's right. That's how they do things, right?
Well, that
they
makes sense.
Trick you out. Do you own the car with this license plate number? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, this, that, and the other thing. And he's like, well, I'll tell you why I'm here. There was a report that you passed a bus and that legally... And the bus driver took your license plate number. And I'm like, oh. And he's like, do you know anything about this? I go, no, I don't know anything about that. And he goes, and you take this road? And I go, regularly.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm not going to say I've done it, but yes, I take this road.
Yeah. It's Cloverdale. There aren't that many roads.
Well, exactly.
He goes, and you pass the bus. And I go, yeah, if I pass the bus, I pass the bus going 30, right? Like, I'm, you know, yeah. I slow down for that school. Yeah. And they got huge speed bumps. Like, even if you were not paying attention, it is this particular. I'm like, if I did, I don't know. Like, I don't know. And I didn't anything. Anyways, that's all I know. Now, in my head, I'm thinking, woo, he's not calling me for any of the other stuff I do.
Yeah.
This is, so he's like, I start relaxing when I realize that this is a traffic infraction and I'm not really too intimidated. Looked into it later. Yeah, they could have taken my license over this, actually. There's a little bit. Anyways.
That big a deal?
I started taking it lightly. And he's like, well, I'm going to be doing an investigation and I'll let you know how it goes.
Bullshit. Into what?
Oh, there's follow up on that. Time travel? So I say to him, I go, listen, I was going to have a date. I'm actually just about to leave on a date when you came. He goes, oh. He goes, well, I'm sorry. I didn't, you know. I go, no, this could work for me. Could you cuff me and bring me back to the apartment? Because I think it'd be really funny to like say that. Like he's like, no, I can't do that. I'm like, come on, just he's like,
it's paperwork.
He's like, why don't you just tell her that I was here to give you like an award or something? And I go, because that's even funnier.
An award?
He's a cop. This guy's a Dougley Do-Right. And now I'm making jokes. And now he updated me on the investigation every week for 6 weeks. He gave me there'd be a voicemail like Monday morning on my phone. He must have been calling me at like, well, I did work early. I worked in a shop. So Sunday night, I did try to, you know, get drunk earlier in the day so I could pass out earlier. And he would just say, oh, it's ongoing. I'm doing an investigation. I'm like, really? You're doing other stuff, though, right? Like, this isn't the only thing you're doing.
This is his number one priority.
And he goes, it was inconclusive on the sixth voicemail.
No shit.
8 hours a day for 25 days.
You know what? And that's where your tax dollars are going.
Do you remember driving when you didn't have to give buses the right of way, like a BC Transit bus?
Yeah.
Remember that before they had like the little.
Do you have to? They say it's the law, but I thought they were just saying.
No,
that.
It is.
Is it really?
It is legit. Yeah.
What like what?
I think it was a bigger deal down in Vancouver where you got to drive a little more aggressively, and those buses got to keep a schedule.
They don't deserve any respect.
But,
for
you
me.
Know when you but when you take a bus, I get it, but. But yeah, I remember when that law changed, I was like, because I was traveling and I came back like, I don't want to break for buses. I want to go first so I can go fast. But
yeah, faster than them.
Right?
Fucking buses.
Right.
All
right.
I take the train. I feel it's train? Slightly classier, the sky train.
Ooh, the sky train.
It's not.
That's classiness in the sky.
When you don't, within the downtown core, it feels a bit classier. Coming out here tonight
I love like subways and sky trains and stuff like that. I love those things. Even ground level transit. I just love being on rails. It's a lot of fun. Buses, I am not in love with.
No.
You know why? They turn too sharply and that throws me around in my seats. Trains take very slight turns. That's why
they do, and good bus drivers should be given awards. The dicks that are watching people like not hang on and on their phones and they sharply brake, fuck you, man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. So how are we doing for time here, gentlemen?
We are actually coming up to we've pulled an hour off somehow. You know what?
Do you have like a ritual at the end? Like, do we take our shirts off? Like, what?
How yes, do, how that do you... we're going to start that tonight. Actually,
how do you close? How do you close the podcast up?
Usually, we thank the guests for coming in. And it was a lot of fun. Thank you for coming in.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it.
It was nice to meet you.
Yeah, absolutely. Same here.
We used to have a running gag where we would announce a celebrity guest for every episode.
Somebody that would never come.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we did make some attempts at getting them. We even got a response back from their people, never them.
But, you know, like different people, they're all like a polite no, but you know how it is.
Which made it really funny when we got like a semi-celebrity when we got the Dreadnoughts on because we announced them and they showed up. That was the punchline.
Hey, they're playing again soon, right?
Yeah, March. March, you're doing a double episode.
Where is it?
In the rickshaw.
That deserves a shout out.
Yeah, I love the rickshaw. You know what? Actually, I might have a lead on one of their opening acts. There's a band. I know a guy who knows a guy.
Let's not get people's...
No, not going to say any names because it's unconfirmed.
I think things are in the mix.
Yeah. I think we've got some... sure, that sounds like fun from somebody. We'll see if that comes to fruition.
It's not a no.
Dude, that sounds like a definite yes.
Right?
And at the end of the show, I always remind people to check us out. Be friends with us on Facebook. Let us know you are listening. And we haven't gotten any, actually I didn't check today, but we haven't had any emails in a while. So that's iNeverWantToBeYoungAgain@gmail.com.
Send them an email for Christ's sake. Everybody likes mail.
So what else are you doing? I can see that you're listening. There's some people like right? Yeah. This both is, of you guys could, you know, send us an email.
Nice tell us think sex works.
Tell us, like, did you steal something?
Oh, yeah. Tell us a story. Right? What's the most expensive thing you stole?
Have you ever pulled a gun on a cop?
Ooh.
We would love to hear that. In fact, if there's any emails, I'll probably read them on air with the amount that we're getting. I'll probably have time. Check out Brooke and our upcoming show down at UBC. When's the date again?
Sorry, February 8th at UBC, the Pit Pub. I think you just get tickets. You don't even need tickets. You can just walk in, have a drink, laugh really hard at me, and make me feel good. No, just.
Do you have any like Twitter or anything that you get followers for?
Yeah, I blog and write on social as Miss Teen USSR. So you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest if you like gluten-free food. But that would be awesome.
All right. You can always listen to our entire episode library, all 24 episodes now, on our website, ineverwanttobeyoungagain.com, and download the Stitcher app and subscribe, and we'll just keep coming at you whether you want us or not. Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you back here next Friday. Credit cards and scams, hitting the licks in the van. Legacy, family, why is he look like a panda? Growing up like a Montana, many killers on their hands. Legacy, family, why is he panda?
Wait, I didn't realize.
I didn't realize this was a subgenre. I didn't.
You know what, dude? I am like out of the game. I've just recently gotten into like proper Instagram game.
But I am not new, and I did not know that there were hookers.
Stumbled upon things, and now I'm like,
I gotta go to sleep right quick. It was good seeing you all.
Really good to see you again, Jeff.
Tumblr is another good place to watch escorts and see what they do.
Oh my god, it's like all the stuff like shit we would read in like Vice magazine 10 years ago.
Yeah, that lifestyle.
We're disgusting women for liking this.
But no, it's fascinating.
But I love how they advertise. They're like, yeah, come get me for a date, because they're very.
And they're very like honest and like, yeah, DM me, but they refuse to talk about any money.